At the top of our program, the Lansing Board of Water and Light wants to build Michigan's largest solar power facility. The community-owned utility told the Lansing State Journal this week that it's eyeing two parcels of land in Delta Township where they intend to put up as many as 70,000 solar panels on 186 acres of land. Now, the BWL says it would be 18 times larger than the biggest existing solar generating facility in Michigan. Clean energy advocates, including our next two guests, are enthusiastic about the plan. Recently, Bob Nelson became a non-voting BWL commissioner representing East Lansing. He's also a former Michigan Public Service Commissioner and has a long history of involvement in energy issues here in Michigan. Bob, welcome back.
Good to be here, Mark.
And Douglas Jester, also of East Lansing, is a principal at Five Lakes Energy, a policy consulting firm working to advance clean energy as well. Doug, welcome back.
Good morning.
You're both supportive of this development. Bob Nelson, tell me why.
Well, I think it's, as you said, the largest solar project in Michigan, and it's going to help reduce carbon emissions greatly throughout this area. Also, over time, it's going to be a very cost-effective program. It's going to reduce rates over time because it's a 20-year program, and rates will be stabilized for that 20 years. I mean, you're not going to pay more in year 19 as you do in year one like you would with natural gas or coal. So I think it's a win-win for the customer and for the Board of Water and Light.
Doug Jester, what's your take on this?
Well, Bob stated the primary case for the facility. I just want to recognize that in this case, the Board of Water and Light is showing real agility and leadership, and we're looking for other utilities to follow that lead.
Tell me just a little bit more from your perspective, because I know you deal with the cost-benefit analysis as well, Douglas. Go a little bit deeper here with us. This is in dollars and cents terms and in environmental terms, you maintain this is a good thing.
Oh, it's a very good thing. When we pay our utility rates, we don't usually look at the details, but there are two pieces. One is the cost of the wires delivering the power. The other is the power supply itself. And in Michigan, the average cost of power is in the neighborhood of 8 cents a kilowatt hour. And the final price for this project hasn't been announced, but we anticipate that it's going to be significantly less than that. In addition, another thing you don't see is we pay a flat rate, the same price per kilowatt hour at all times. But underneath that, the utilities' costs vary a lot from time to time. They have to have power plants to meet high loads. And if you think about it, that means that we're paying more per kilowatt hour for the capacity to meet those peak loads than we are for the level of power we have all the time. Solar produces at the times of peak loads. So this solar project is going to displace power that otherwise would probably cost, you know, in the neighborhood of 10 or 11 cents a kilowatt hour and probably below 7 cents a kilowatt hour.
Why do you think this is happening in Lansing? What is it about the Lansing Board of Water and Light in December of 2015 that it crossed this threshold at this time?
Well, I think, as Doug said, it's due to the leadership of the Board of Water and Light. We have, as you know, new management this year and also a brand new board. I mean, a lot of new members on the board, including the three non-voting members. And I think all the commissioners are now engaged in this process and really supportive of looking ahead to the future. And we have this IRP process, which we just started, and we're looking to see what the best and most cost-effective plan is for the ratepayers of Lansing.
IRP process, that would be an integrated resource plan. We'll get into that in just a second. Delta Township approved a special site plan this past week. Bob Nelson, as a BWL commissioner, are there other hurdles or requirements that could hang this thing up, or do you expect it to happen?
I expect it to happen. There are some other hurdles. You have to have a purchase power agreement with the board, which I think will be pursued very vigorously. You also have to have the interconnections, which I think should be pretty straightforward. But then you have some other local issues besides zoning. I understand there's some concern by the drain commissioner about this, which I think should be addressed fairly readily.
Doug Jester, these kinds of energy decisions, what to develop, what to avoid, and decisions about how to replace the Eckert plant, for example, are the result of these integrated resource plans. In layperson's terms, describe an integrated resource plan, please.
An integrated resource plan is kind of a strategic plan for a utility. It starts out with what service your customers want and need, what assets you have, and looks at the gap between those and how you should best fill it. So it considers, you know, all of the options from energy efficiency programs to new generation capacity, various technologies, and the costs, environmental effects, reliability effects, and so on of each of those choices, and finds the best portfolio of things to do.
And you advise municipalities on creating and executing these IRPs. Do I have that right? That's what part of what Five Lakes Energy does?
Yes, and also at a state level. So we are currently working with 10 states developing tools for them to use in integrated resource planning to comply with the EPA's new Clean Power Plan.
Douglas Jester is a principal at Five Lakes Energy, a policy consulting firm working to advance clean energy. Bob Nelson recently became a BWL commissioner. We're talking about the BWL's plans to erect Michigan's largest solar power facility. This is enormous. It's up to 70,000 solar panels on 186 acres of land, two different parcels of land, in Delta Township, and that is reportedly enough power to generate, to support at least 3,500 homes around the clock. Bob Nelson, what do you know about the company working with the BWL on this? It's Grow Solar out of Vermont.
Yes, they've been active in this area for about 17 years, and they've had projects all over the country. They're helping with not only this project, but with the community solar projects that are being developed in East Lansing and Lansing, ultimately. And they've done all sorts of work in solar, including turnkey projects and utility-scale projects.
Douglas, remind our listeners how these community solar projects differ from the Delta Township plan.
Well, in the Delta Township project, the Board of Water and Light's going to enter a contract with Grow Solar, where Grow Solar will build and own the project, and then they'll sell the power to the Board of Water and Light. That power just gets used by all of the board's customers. With community solar, the idea is that individual customers are investing in and then owning the power from the project. So
they're basically leasing a solar panel, as I understand it.
Okay. Exactly. So you might think of it as an alternative to putting a solar system on your own house. If you put it on your own house, then you know you own it, you get the power from it. But not everybody has the right circumstance for that. So community solar is a way that a group of people can jointly invest in a larger project and each share in the output. And rather than getting money from the Board of Water and Light by selling the power to them, you get a credit on your bill.
Okay. The legislature here, there's so many different angles to the energy discussion in Michigan. Let's move on to another one. The legislature appears to gradually be making its way to new state energy policies. The key pieces are energy efficiency, renewables, and electric choice. I know that some renewable energy advocates are disappointed in the legislation that has taken shape. Let me give you both just a chance to weigh in on what is likely going to be Michigan's new energy policy once the old one expires at the end of the year. Bob?
Yes, with regard to both energy efficiency and renewable energy, I think that's going to be a setback. If you look at what's been through the House committee at this point, it hasn't gone onto the House floor yet, so we don't know what's going to happen there, nor has the Senate taken it up. But as I read the House committee report, they're going to stop the renewable portfolio standard in its tracks so that you wouldn't have any new renewable projects mandated.
Stay at 10%, right?
Stay at 10%. And I think when you look at the fact that we've gone from pretty much zero in 2008 to 10% in 2015, there's a lot more potential for renewable energy. Elon Musk, for example, has said that by 2035, we should have 50% of the power in this country generated by solar, not just renewable, by solar. So there's a great potential, and I think legislation is ignoring that potential. And the same is true with energy efficiency. I think they want the energy efficiency law to sunset, which means you wouldn't have any new energy efficiency if that happens.
And this is where utilities basically offer assistance to homeowners and businesses to try to use less energy, basically.
Correct. And the case for that is that it's less costly for the utility to help their customers save energy than for the utility to provide that energy. So it's a savings for all customers if they help some customers with doing what they do more efficiently.
Bob Nelson, I want to move on here, though. There's, a lot of angles to this. As a BWL commissioner, I want to ask you about another issue that came up last month on this program. General Michael McDaniel, the head of the community review team that investigated the BWL after the ice storm mess, expressed dissatisfaction with the utility's current outage management system. Now, this is the same outage management system that was in operation 2 years ago. Here is what he told our listeners 3 weeks ago today.
I'm still not convinced that it's robust and has full capability. I mean, the as you mentioned, Mark, the performance audit from just last month said that they need to test it more. That's the same thing we said in our report in May of 2014. And then the second thing is that the backup system is a manual system.
Bob Nelson, do you share any of General McDaniel's concerns?
Yes, but I should point out that the Board of Water and Light is in the process now of hiring a new vendor to deal with the outage management system. They hope to select one yet this month and then go through contract negotiations early next year. So once that's done and once that system is up and running, I think you'll see a vastly improved system. But he's right about the fact that we still have the same system that broke down essentially during the ice storm.
But it's been stress tested. David
yes.
Price was in here alongside General McDaniel and claimed that it's been stress tested and that there really, for all practical purposes, we don't have anything to worry about.
Well, yes, I'm not sure we don't have anything to worry about, but at the same time, it has been tested a lot more than it was prior to 2013. It was a new system that was put in that year, and frankly, they did not do adequate testing before that ice storm. I think it's been tested severely since then, but, you know, we want the new system to go into effect and replace the old one.
And Bob, you and Bill Long and Mike Froh comprise a lot of the new blood. Not all of it, but a lot of it on the Board of Commissioners. The board took a lot of heat in the aftermath of the ice storm and during the investigation as well. Is the board strong enough right now and competent enough to responsibly oversee the Board of Water and Light?
I believe it is. And, you know, not only have Mike and Bill and I joined the board, but also Mark Alley has joined and Ken Ross this year. And they're very engaged commissioners. And I think there's going to be a whole new culture there at the Board of Water and Light to make sure that we are engaged in all the issues and ask the right questions.
Douglas Jester, anything to say about the current crossroads for the BWL?
I was a member of the community review team, so I looked hard at the Board of Water and Light in the aftermath of the ice storm. They still have work to do, as we've talked about, but I think it's a much healthier organization now, and I'm proud of having it as our local utility.
Are you still following it closely enough to have anything to say about General McDaniel's concerns? Do you share those concerns more or less?
No, I share those concerns, but you know, it takes time to work through these things. I'm confident that the board with the new leadership is going to complete the mission and have a good outage management system.
We have just about a minute left. Let me ask you about the impact of President Obama's and the EPA's Clean Power Plan here on the Board of Water and Light. What light can you shed on the impact that will have?
Well, the Board of Water and Light has a couple of fairly old power plants, coal-fired power plants, the Eckerd and Erickson, that we're going to have to be either phased out or substantially rebuilt in the next decade anyway. The Clean Power Plan just means that those are not going to be replaced with coal plants. They're going to be replaced with some mix of efficiency, renewables, and natural gas.
Here's an interesting way to close this. Bob Nelson, if it were up to you to create the energy pie for the Lansing Board of Water and Light, and you said this percent oil, or sorry, this percent coal, this percent natural gas, that percent solar, what would that pie look like?
Well, if you're talking about the near term, I think you have to keep some coal available for the near term, but I think over time we want zero coal. And natural gas is a good transition fuel. But ultimately, I think we need to have all renewable energy, and I think that's possible.
Mm. How much will the coal profile go down after Eckert is closed? Do we know that? It's what percent now, and what percent will it be after it's closed?
Yeah, Eckert itself is only about 10% of the overall generation. Because they've closed three of the facilities there now. They had six generation stations. They're down to three now. So it's a small percentage. But Ericsson's a little bigger than that. And so Ericsson is maybe 20, 25%.
Bob Nelson became a non-voting BWL commissioner representing East Lansing recently. He's also a former Michigan Public Service Commissioner and has been involved in energy issues in Michigan for many years. I also want to thank Douglas Jester, a principal at Five Lakes Energy, a policy consulting firm working to advance clean energy. We've been talking primarily about the ambitious new plan from the Lansing Board of Water and Light to build Michigan's largest solar power facility. Stay in touch, and thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.